RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com. And by Campers Inn RV. Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com. And by RV Trader. If you're looking to sell your RV, head over to rvtrader.com/sell and enter coupon code RVFTA5OFF to receive a special discount.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are sharing our favorite product recommendations for the camping season ahead. There is nothing more exciting in the RV world than de-winterizing that camper and getting stocked for your adventures ahead. We will share some great new items you might want to find space for this year.
Plus, we sent our Utah correspondent Brett Nielsen to the Outdoor Retailer Market a couple of months ago, and he compiled a list of 7 amazing new gear recommendations. Your camping wish list just got a little bit longer, folks.
You might think that a spring gear guide can fit into just one podcast episode, but we know that sometimes there are too many goodies to cram into just 1 hour. You are listening to episode number 79, the RVFTA 2016 Spring Gear Guide, Part 1. Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, our 2016 Spring Gear Guide Part 1, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup. And there's all kinds of good things on the list tonight, but the thing that I'm most excited about is that we're opening up the RV this weekend.
Yeah, you've been like chomping at the bit.
I wanted to go camping this weekend. I think the compromise is that we're just going to open it up, get everything ready, do a little cleanup, make sure all systems are go, and then we'll camp soon after.
Yeah, we had a lot of things going on, and you were really working on me.
I've been working hard to get Stephanie to head down to like Maryland, maybe just one of the campgrounds that's open. But we're looking at an April 1st kickoff because that's when pretty much all the campgrounds around us do open. So if we wanted to go this weekend, we'd be heading a little bit further away, which just is not in the plans at the moment with work and all that other stuff.
Yeah, too much going on. So we need to like hunker down and do things like gear guides.
I know. Stephanie's like, we can't go camping this weekend. We have to do the gear guide.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, stop the madness. The podcast can't keep us from camping.
No.
This is wrong.
It's March. Oh, come on. Don't like, you know, cry me a river.
I know,
please.
But we did talk about extending our camping season.
And we
starting
did.
In March, we did go to Thanksgiving.
We did, yeah.
But I feel like to really, you know, follow true to our word, we need to open up the season in March.
Well,
not
we're not.
April.
We're opening the camper, and that's going to just suit you fine. And you know what? It's going to feel so great to get out there, and we are really going to work a little harder this year. We talked about this before. I talked about it in a blog post I did. We spend so much time in our camper now. I'm going to work really hard this year at like sort of like RV intentionality.
And the boys will do everything they can to destroy that.
I know. It'll probably set up a bad dynamic. But anyway, whatever.
Well, listen, we published a few articles this week. We have a new post up on the Progressive blog, and that's at lifelanes.progressive.com. Love that blog, not just for our content, but for a lot of the other great content there. And because they put all of our content together in one place. If you click on RV Family Travel Atlas, like it's like magic and all our posts appear.
Oh, I know. We have a page. It's like we have a page
there. We have like a little house in the
My Heart Progressive. Okay.
We both
so
heart progressive.
The post that is up this month for Progressive, that's lifelanes.progressive.com, is 5 simple tips for organizing the RV. So if you are like us and you are opening up your camper right now, you're figuring out what you're going to keep in there, where you're going to place things, go over, read the post. These are not like, go buy a tiered shelf, right? It's not that kind of organization.
Simple.
These are principles, okay? These are ways to think about your space, and they are principles that I learned from a professional organizer who taught me how to think about tiny spaces.
Yeah, we do occasionally get emails and notes on Facebook saying, hey, I bought my RV, now what? Mm. Well, this post, you know, will get you moving, get you going in the
right direction. We get so many requests for a stock your first RV episode.
Well, you want to do the stock in the RV.
Because we have
done stock in the RV.
No, but not this is like a comprehensive, yeah. How do you go from having a empty RV to a prepared RV? And, you know, it's a great question too, because what happens is if you don't think about it, what you just end up throwing stuff in there.
Yeah, we should do that episode. There are definitely great checklists out there, but we could probably put our own unique spin on it.
I know. We got to get on it. We have had too many requests now, I feel like, for us to ignore that any longer. So now another thing that was really exciting for us this week, right?
We are old media, baby. We published an article in Trailer Life magazine this week. We got our contributor's copy a few days ago. It was so exciting to get that in the mail. I have really been a dedicated Trailer Life reader since we got into RVing 5 or 6 years ago. And I have to say, I have been loving the magazine. I think they're having a renaissance there at this magazine in terms of the quality of the travel articles. And I think the ultimate proof of that is that we're in it this week.
Oh, stop it. Don't be a...
So we did an article on Cape May, but sort of Cape May to Atlantic City as a great RV destination.
It's called Gems of the Jersey Shore.
And I think that it is the best RV destination in New Jersey. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I mean, we make it clear in this article that this is our sort of home turf happy place. It really is. We love it down there in Cape May. Now, in the article, you'll learn that I don't know if we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but this is actually where we had our first date when we were teenagers, right?
Fish chill in the lifeguard stand.
You didn't have to share that. Nobody needed to mention
that. You can edit it out if you don't want it in here.
All right. So we have been sort of connected with Cape May all of our lives.
Since we were teenagers.
As soon as we got that camper, our first pop-up camper, we found a campground there that we loved.
You found seashore campsites.
Dead, yeah.
And the thing about Cape May, as opposed to the rest of New Jersey, just to be honest, is Cape May has a lot of great camping options. Mm-hmm. There are multiple good campgrounds there, and our two favorites are Holly Shores and Seashore Campsites. You can't lose at either of those places. Yeah. So we write about those, but we also got into activities, into food, even into going to Atlantic City a little bit. Great article, great pictures. Subscribe to Trailer Life. People have been asking us, well, how do I get the magazine? You could get it at Barnes & Noble. They don't have it at every single Barnes & Noble, but they do have it at a bunch of them. Or you could just subscribe. It's well worth it.
All right. And then also, we have winners to announce. A lot of winners. Color in those campers.
Hashtag RVFTA. Coloring.
Right. We decided that coloring in campers was really good therapy to get us all through the winter months. And boy, did our listeners come through. If you go over to Instagram and you search the hashtag RVFTA coloring hashtag.
Lots of great work.
Gosh.
Lots of great art there.
So much
good
fun.
Job, guys.
Yeah. And in fact, I think what I'm going to do, this is my little insider tip. Somebody else could do this too. You know, they have those little apps that create like Instagram like posters. You
can
make
a
poster. So if you wanted to, you could buy like a poster of that hashtag and it would have all those colored campers on it. How cute would that be?
What a warm, fuzzy feeling you would get from having that.
I think I'm going to try to do it.
You should try to do it.
I thought of it. So anyway, we have to say who the winner is. And this is a winner, a runaway winner.
Domination.
Blew us away.
She won first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh prize.
Now, it's not that we don't appreciate everyone else that participated. Believe me, we made our best efforts too, and it just could not compare to, drum roll please,
Jenna Montana. And I think everyone out there who actually looked at the gallery, like, there's no controversy here.
Yeah. If you have an argument to make with us, seriously, speak up because it's...
Run out into your backyard and yell.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hear it.
No. She did phenomenal work. Good job, Jenna Montana.
Excellent job. So you'll be receiving a signed copy of our book, The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, which, by the way, our publisher is sending us our advanced copy. And she said we're going to get it in 3 days. And I didn't think we'd be getting a copy for another month. So I am really excited to see the book.
That made your week. That really did.
That made my month, I think. I mean, look, we wrote this book last summer. I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to feel it.
I have patience.
Turn the pages.
I'm like, whatever. It'll come when it comes.
I want to curl up with a cup of tea and read
your book. You wrote it. You know what it says.
You know what it is? It's not even about reading it. I just want to feel it and touch it and see it and see what it all looks like.
It's exciting. Let's face it. All right. Now, we also have winners for our giveaway from last week, which was Technomadia's. That's Chris and Sherry's, a mobile internet handbook. Okay, they released a new edition of that. We said they are the experts on this topic, so we really wanted to share their expertise with our listeners. Okay, so they gave away two copies of the ebook.
Right. They gave us a generous prize package, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. And who won that on Instagram? RV Circus and Next Stop Everything. We are going to inbox you guys and you're going to give us our contact information and we are going to pass that along to Technomadia and they are going to send you all the info you need to get your copy.
And we're going to go buy a copy because I want to read it. Because I want better internet on the road this summer. I do.
So I know. We are going to be better. Okay. Hand to heart. All right. Now, our premium membership winner. Now, that includes the book, but also a membership into their aficionado club. Like, it's like you get all these resources from them if you're really on the road a lot and you want to be able to work. And that was NewK63 on Instagram. NewK63. So thank you all for participating in that contest. We hope that the rest of you go and you download a copy of it because we don't think there's anybody out there that knows more about staying connected on the road.
That's right. And thank you guys. Thank you to Technomadia for that great prize pack. That was fun.
Okay. Now we have so many products and then we also have Brett.
Brett went wild.
Oh,
let's just say
he did such a good
Brett's
job.
Brett's segment, like, oh my gosh, I think I spent $200 the second
did
I
did you go- really?
No.
He reviews
seven products and I'm getting five or six of them. Okay. I'm telling you.
Now, so because we have our products and Brett's products, we have like no time for the forum thread of the week. But what I want to do is I want to point our listeners to the Gear and Gadgets forum over at www.rvfamilytravelatlas.com/forums. Okay. So if you go over there, there's a Gear and Gadgets forum and our listeners, there are tons of recommendations for gear and gadgets under that forum
that have built up over the last few months
that I want to even try that we haven't even got to yet. And, you know, some of them I'm going to be mining for future gear guides. And so if you want recommendations, if you want to ask questions about it, it's a great place to go. Head over there this week and look at that.
Yeah, I would really love it if anyone would drop some recommendations there for some spring gear that they're excited about. Because, you never know what we didn't find, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll start a thread.
You're always
on that.
Just scratching the surface with a gear guide, you know?
All right. So we got to move.
Yeah, we got to move, people. We'll be back in a second with our 2016 Spring Gear Guide Part 1.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 14 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our 2016 RVFTA Spring Gear Guide Part 1. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that we've never done two spring gear guides, two Christmas gear guides, two fall gear guides. Why the change to two gear guides, two episodes about gear?
Epic.
It is epic.
And we had too many great products that we wanted to talk about, companies that we knew of out there that we wanted to sort of like say, hey, everybody, you may not see this at your local big box store, but it's out there. check it out. They're building a business here. We really wanted
and
to do that.
And you also got this crazy idea to do an episode that focused on gear for inside the RV and an episode that focuses on gear for outside of the RV. So this episode for our segment, we're doing gear that's for the inside of the RV. Then Brett's just going to do his own crazy
thing. He's doing outdoor adventure stuff.
Outdoor adventure,
we
Brett.
We sent him out to, as a correspondent to that show, and I was like, you find the cool adventure
when
stuff.
You're from Salt Lake City, Utah, you can only buy and use really cool outdoor gear. If you don't, you don't fit in there. It just doesn't work for you.
It's the rule. So here we go. This week, we are going to give you all of our recommendations for sort of inside your RV. And then next week, we are going to talk about stuff for outside the RV.
Right. Now, you fell in love with an Etsy shop called Making Something Happy. And this Etsy shop sure made you happy.
It did. It popped up in a couple of different places for me through the course of a week or two. And I was like, you know what? Let me explore this a little more. And I'm so glad I did. Sharon Cox is the sort of artist behind Making Something Happy. Okay. And I'm not a big Etsy shopper. I'm not a big shopper in general.
I think you're about to become one.
But I reached out to her and I said, I'd love to take a closer look at your products because you know what? I think they'll hit a nerve with our audience. And so she sent me like a sample of what she has. And oh, so cute. So the first product that I want to talk about is the This Is Our Happy Place pillow. Okay. Now, this is a burlap throw pillow, a decorative pillow for your couch. And everybody that's been listening knows that part of what I want to do this year is like kind of spruce up the interior of our camper a bit since we spend so much time in it.
And you've been talking about doing that for a few years. So yeah. I feel like, you know, it's like the time has come.
It's time. And I'm excited to do it. So this is, I can't wait to put this on our love seat. Okay. Burlap pillow. And then she does embroidery on the pillows, okay? Most of the time with a saying and a picture. And there's lots of different sayings, lots of different pictures. So you really have to go and you have to visit her Etsy shop to see all your options, all right? On these burlap pillows that are 10 to 12 inches big, you could have sayings like, together is our favorite place to be, love, happy camper, hashtag cuddle.
I wanted hashtag cuddle. Stephanie wanted this is our happy place. This is our happy place
is
pretty much perfect
place.
Because look, for everyone out there listening to this podcast, I think like 100% of our listeners would say their RV is truly their happy place.
Yeah.
So this just adds a nice little touch. Now, all these products are also, they range from $8 to $20.
Yeah,
this
all
pillow
the products
and
in
the next
her,
few.
In her Etsy shop are so affordable.
Great prices.
Yeah. So also number two, and this is from the Making Something Happy Etsy shop as well. The Camper Sweet Camper hand towel. All right. This is a kitchen towel and it's a like a beige kitchen towel with a little bit of that old fashioned red stripe around the bottom and the top. And then again, it has the black embroidery. I have on it Camper Sweet Camper, which I personally like that saying. And it has then a vintage little.
Yeah. And the pillow also from before also is a vintage RV.
Yeah. That's what she kind of specializes in. And then also you can get the different embroidery on it if you wanted red, black, blue, green, whatever.
So she's got a good variety of colors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can change it up a little bit. And she's got a variety of sayings. You know, like you can definitely personalize this into something that makes it your happy thing.
Well, they do just make you smile.
All right,
that's
yeah.
the thing about these products.
Well, and I also like the fact that they're like kind of subtle in a way. Like they have the vintage, but it's not overwhelming.
They fit into your RV.
Yeah, because of the fact that it's just the black embroidery, it makes me feel like I can introduce it into my camper without it being like, what? Your camper isn't vintage. Why are you putting this in here? You know, it's very subtle and it's just going to give a little bit of pop. And I like that. So the third product from Sharon's shop is a camper dish mat. And she told me that this is actually what she got started on because it was one of those stories where she made it for her own camper and she had people go, oh my gosh, you have to sell these.
This is absolutely beautiful. This is my favorite piece in the set because I like
That's
the fact
so
that it has
me.
More color. Well, no, it's exciting. It has a Route 66 theme. It has the different states, you know, that are along Route 66 from New Mexico, Mississippi, It has the vintage Route 66 highway signs. It's exciting. It makes me want to hit the open road. It has that sort of wanderlust kind of feeling, the romance of travel.
Yeah. So Sharon showed me two different dish mats that she has. And the one that Jeremy's referencing is like a darker scheme, and it has all the vintage Route 66 stuff on it. And it's funny that that was your favorite. And my favorite was the other one that she sent me, which is a lighter cream color, but then it has all these really cute little vintage campers all over it. But again, I'm more of a light neutrals kind of a person.
We need to get photos. You did some photos on Instagram of the other items. I think we need to get these up on Instagram too and give everybody a...
Yeah, we will.
And of course, on the show notes, we'll link as well.
Yeah.
So these are great products at a great price point. You mentioned before, like, these are target prices, but these are not mass-produced goods. These are handmade goods. So she's hitting a great price point.
And on this episode, when we say target prices, we mean like the store target. Like, we're saying like these are the same prices that you would pay if you went into a store like Target. You know how they have those like special collections? You would buy a hand towel for the same price point. You would buy a decorative pillow for the same price point. And the fact that Sharon's down there and she's sort of like imagining these things, and then she's embroidering these objects and then sending them off to you to put into your camper. You know what? I say go to Sharon.
These products hit the mark. You know,
like they're made with love.
They're made with love. And I know like the girl campers that we know would really love these
products.
Yeah,
I hope so. I really hope everybody goes and just buys something from Sharon, because I'm like, I love people that are just making things that make people happy.
And supporting some American businesses, yes. Which was another theme of yours on this episode, is that you wanted to pick
not every product.
You wanted to pick some products by kind of small businesses, American entrepreneurs just doing their thing.
Yeah, it was a real goal of mine to focus on these startups. It's almost like startup businesses, right?
Now you found another shop online, and boy, oh boy, just like the Etsy shop, the Making Something Happy shop, you fell in love with this thing. This was it's Uncommon Goods. You can find them at uncommongoods.com, and you're just kind of geeked out about some of their products, and they lured you in.
Now, be honest, Jeremy. How often do packages show up with my name on them?
Never.
But I got these from Uncommon Goods a little while back. Like, I was like a kid in a candy shop. Now, I did not go on this site thinking to shop for the spring care guide. That is not what happened. But this site has an uncanny algorithm searcher thing that as soon as you start searching for a certain kind of product, it starts doing that recommendation thing. And all of a sudden underneath, like it knew, oh, this lady likes products for small spaces and products that can easily fold up or whatever.
And these were not products designed for the RV, but just one of those cases where they're perfect for the RV. And we've run across that before.
Yeah. This site actually just tries to feature products from craftsmen, artisans all around the world that sort of have an elegant design to them, right? They're supposed to be well-designed products.
All right. So talking about elegant design, let's dive into one of the products from Uncommon Goods. Tell us about the Fossils Twist Fold 3-Tiered Bowl.
Yeah.
It's about $30 retail.
This thing, how cool is this?
It's the bomb, because as a man who's not, you know, the most sophisticated in the kitchen, I look at this product and say like, oh yeah, we'll use this. Like, it's obvious that we will use this.
Yeah. So we have one of those. We have the counter space in our RV is full of stuff when we go camping, because what happens is we really are produce people. And any produce that I bring or I pick up at the farmer's market, you know, like all that produce, you don't want to keep it in your fridge, like tomatoes, bananas, none of that stuff should go in your fridge. It'll get mealy. And you don't want to put it in your pantry, because if you put it in your pantry, it'll over-ripen, right? Your pantry doesn't have a lot of circulation.
Too hot.
It's too hot. So we keep those kinds of things. Bread goes moldy if you don't keep it out on the counter. Like, you
and we
have
for an RV, we have a relatively nice size kitchen counter, and it's deep. So there's space behind the sink, and it just we put so much stuff there, it blocks the window back there.
Yeah,
like, we have bananas.
It's lined up back there.
You have a bottle of wine. We have cereal, whatever it is.
No, like, cereal will go in the pantry. Stop. You're ruining the narrative.
I'm not ruining the – well, I ruined the counter space putting the cereal there.
Because you didn't put the cereal away. No, it's the stuff that you can't keep in the pantry, you can't keep in the refrigerator. The bagels, the bananas, the tomatoes, the pears. Those
things that are going to go
bad. Right, line the back of the camper. Well, this tiered bowl – It's three tiers, and it's just like one of those hanging baskets that used to be really popular back in like the 70s and the 80s. I used to have one in our apartment, remember, in Bradley Beach?
I do remember.
Like, hanging down with the – so it's like that, but it in this super easy way, twists and just folds flat and clicks into place. So you can have it like in your cabinet, away. Then you get to the campground, you pop it up, and you can store all your produce in
it. It collapses into a pretty small item.
Oh my gosh, it really does. It's so flat, right? But then it opens up, and I love this. I'm going to be able to keep my fruits and my like the counter
veggies. Collapsible's the way to go in an RV.
I really know. So I love this product. This product is $30, and I am so excited about it. It's going to sit there. It's going to look awesome in my camper. I'm happy.
And did you think that was a fair price point at $30?
Yeah, because, again, it's designed. I mean, the way that this – I'm going to do one of those quick little videos.
You should. It feels sturdy to me.
And you just zoop, and it goes right down, and then you just turn it, and it pops right back on.
You just zoop.
Yeah. Zoop.
No, she's right, though. It is. Like, you zoop, and then there it is. Yeah, this is definitely a great pick for the RV kitchen.
Love it.
Now tell us about the Core Bamboo Over-the-Sink Cutting Board. And that retails for about $32, and you're pretty excited about this one, too.
The sink in the RV oftentimes comes with a cover because you want to turn your sink into counter space. Okay. Now, what is the problem with someone like me that I actually cook in my RV? I hear not a lot of other people do it, but I know a lot of our listeners
do. You and I don't buy that market research. Everyone we know cooks in the RV.
So the problem with the thing that covers the sink is that then I have to use the sink actually quite often when I'm cooking because I might wash my vegetables.
You don't use those sink covers. You really don't.
No, because I don't like to take them on and off. I use the table instead. Right. Okay. So this bamboo cutting board with a built-in silicone colander is off the hook cool. Okay. So it lays across my double sink. And I can use it as a solid surface. But then over the one side of the sink is this colander, the silicone colander. So when my pasta is ready, when I'm chopping something, when I need to wash something, whatever it is, I can still use the colander and the sink, and I can have my chopping block right next to it.
Simple but brilliant.
But that's what good design is.
Yeah, and good design. And when you're talking in the small space of the RV, like products need to solve problems to some degree because you're in that smaller space. You don't have the full kitchen. So I like that you said that. This is a problem-solving product. Let's move into some more heavy-duty products. And these are going to have to do with kind of cooking and coffee.
I have two appliances. Okay, I wanted to include some appliances that we haven't talked about before. We don't bring a lot of appliances to our camper, but the ones that we bring have to be important.
You got to choose wisely because they do take up some space.
All right, so what's number one?
The Instapot 6-quart, 7-inch, 1 multifunction pressure cooker. These things all have such long names.
It's a 7-in-1.
No, 7-in-1.
It's
a 7-inch multi-cooker. and it retails for about $114. And you're sold on this thing. Like, I think we're going to be making a lot of meals. Well, I shouldn't say way. I think you're going to be making a lot of meals out of this Instapot.
I'm obsessed with the Instapot.
She is obsessed.
I do far too much cooking in the Instapot.
So what are some things you're going to make, and why do you like it?
First of all, if you're a longtime listener, you know that I'm a crockpot fan. Okay, in our camper. I always bring my crock pot, and for long days that we're going to be traveling, I actually plan a crock pot meal around that so that when we come home, I'm not racing to get dinner on the table. Okay, so the crock pot to me is very user friendly.
It solves the problem.
The crock pot is getting ditched. Okay, the crock pot.
Side of the road. It's out at the curb right now.
I'm done with the crock pot. I don't need the crock pot anymore because I have my Instapot. The Instapot, when they say 7-in-1, one of the functions of the Instapot is a slow cooker. So I can still use this as a slow cooker if I want to. And I have done that. I've already made broth, right? I've made stock. I've made pulled pork in the Instapot using it as a crock pot. It works perfectly, just like a crock pot should. However, it does now all of the other things that your crock pot never did. I can saute with this. It is unbelievable. So you can actually brown your meat. And that's one thing that a lot of people hate about a crock pot is you have to brown your meat on a separate pan if you wanted to get that nice caramelized outside. Well, this way, you don't have to. You turn it on to saute. You sit there and I'm browning my, chicken breast, or I browned pot roast that I made.
The pot roast was awesome.
Yeah, I browned it on all sides. It got that nice caramelized,
The boys loved the boys. The boys loved it. I loved it.
They've eaten everything out of the Instapot so far. So it has the sauté. Now, it also is a pressure cooker, which means I made that pot roast in about 25 minutes. Now you
stop
have no
idea.
Oh, don't even say that. Like, how long does a pot roast normally take?
I have no
idea. You have no idea. You have no idea. Hours, honey.
Right.
Hours. Because you have to cook it low and
slow. And did you notice any quality difference in that? Are you really getting the same?
Honey, a pressure cooker has been known for decades to be able to get that wonderful long and slow flavor, but in a short amount of time. It's just that pressure cookers have been badly, like they're, you know, everybody that knows a pressure cooker knows, like, you're like scared to open it. You're like banging it on the counter. Like, they've been difficult to use. Now this Instapot. Oh my gosh. It has this little like do to tell you when it's safe to open it. So the steam doesn't.
The Instapot people need to hire you for a QVC commercial.
Oh my God. I love the Instapot. Rice cooker. I made brown rice in 10 minutes or something, okay?
Like, so the speed of it is really – like, you're excited about that for when we're on the road and traveling because we're gone all day. We're hiking. And you don't want to spend 2 hours making dinner. You don't.
No, but it's so flexible. It's everything in one single appliance. And I am geeked out on the Instapot. I have made so many things in the Instapot this winter. I cannot wait to make more. Steep learning curve. I want to say one more thing. I know I'm running over time here.
That's okay.
Steep learning curve on this because it's not like anything else you've ever used. I just Google everything. I'm like, Instapot, this, like whatever.
And there's
I want
a lot of
make.
Good resources there.
And then there'll be resources out there.
Now, the Instapot's the new kid on the block around here. Our Cuisinart electric kettle, we have had almost 10 years.
Forever.
And this thing, I dropped this thing down the basement stairs.
What? Wait, did you do
I dropped
that?
At our last house, I dropped this thing down the basement stairs.
What?
Yeah, I received this as a gift from your mother, and it's $89.99, and I think at the time it was over $100. I think the price
and
has actually dropped.
And I think you were kind of like, that's an expensive
Well, yeah, like, that's
kettle.
An expensive
like,
gift, and I was a big tea drinker at the time, so this was like a perfect gift for me, this kettle.
That was pre-coffee days.
Cuisinart, it's simple, it's easy to use, it's straightforward, and I dropped that bad boy. I even remember the circumstances of it, and I was like, well, there goes that,
yeah.
You know, and I went down, picked it up, it's fine, and this thing just keeps on chugging for us, so great for the RV if you're a tea drinker, if you want hot water for oatmeal in the morning.
Yeah.
Also, we French press our
now,
coffee in the
use
RV
for our
now.
French press, right?
So we bring the Cuisinart, so it's like multi-purpose in terms of coffee, tea, hot water for oatmeal, whatever it might be.
It has the different temperatures on the automatic setting, which is awesome.
It has a French
boil,
French press button,
green tea, white tea. Herbal tea.
And it heats it up
that.
To the appropriate temperature
right.
for each of those
now,
things.
I want to say
really
one
does.
More thing. Ours is old and it doesn't have the retractable cord. If you
stop.
No, I'm serious, honey. If you get the new one, it has a retractable
cord.
My
How
goodness.
Perfect
is for that
the RV,
for the RV?
Because you've got to plug it in and plug it. I want another one.
No, I
oh,
should
come
not
on.
Have shared that.
No, really, the retractable cord.
How
it's like,
cool.
Yeah, we don't have that many outlets around the kitchen, so you're plugging and unplugging things.
Yeah, so when you unplug it, it retracts and then you have a nice clean look back on your counter. Love
you
it.
Just made a big mistake.
No, we're not getting that. Don't worry. That has to die.
Cuisinart electric kettle for your tea drinkers, your coffee drinkers. Great product to have in the RV. What's next?
All right. Our next sort of appliance. Now, this is the Aroma Ready Oil Drop Diffuser. People, I am not selling essential oils. I never will try to sell you essential oils, but we happen to use them in the house. How hooked are you on essential oils, honey?
It's like very relaxing. I need this when I come home from a long day at work.
Yeah. So this diffuser is awesome. It's just like you can put any different oil in it, like whether you're like the classic lavender person or a basil or like if you want more of that outdoor, you know, kind of feeling to it. But it's so easy and it's a cool mist diffuser. And like I put it in the boys' room if they're having a cough or something, I put the Breathe in there. But enough of that sort of odor talk has happened in the camp, in the forum this winter
right.
to make me realize, oh my gosh, I have two of these things. One of them's going in the camper this summer.
Yeah, it's easy to fill the RV up with things that don't smell good, like little kids.
Right.
But it's also easy to make, like when we make coffee in the morning, you know, the RV just smells so good and it fills up with that aroma. So I think this will be really nice to have
in
the
wait.
RV.
Doesn't it just relax us all? Like when I put a nice scent into the
it
diffuser,
relaxes the boys
like,
and they're hard to relax.
Everybody begs me. You, every time I get a roller out, you're like, give me some of that. Like,
I want a hit of it. I want a hit.
So the diffuser's going into our camper, all right? I recommend it highly. So if you are one of those people out there's a lot out there right now using essential oils. If you already use them, get a diffuser and bring it into the camper. All right.
Sounds good. Now, I have the carbon monoxide detector by First Alert. Now, all RVs come with a carbon monoxide detector that's hardwired into the electric system. But ours has gone off a few times, and we think it really kind of misfired for whatever reason. And also, they can, at a certain point after 3 or 4 years, they get old and they don't work as well. So I didn't really want to replace that one yet because I think it's still good for a few more years. But a couple times in the middle of the night, we woke up with that thing going off, and I was like, man, is this thing malfunctioning or is it working? It's very stressful. So I just decided to go out and buy this First Alert carbon monoxide alarm. It plugs in. It has a digital display. And I figure if that hardwired one goes off again, I have a backup with a reading on it. And I can just say, is there really an issue here that we need to take care of? Or is this one getting old, malfunctioning, catching, you know, God knows what smell or whatever and going off?
Yeah, you can't rest for the rest of the night. When you've made the decision that nothing is going on, maybe the heater's not on, whatever, we have to disconnect this because it must be like shorting or whatever. Once you've done that, you lie awake in your bed thinking.
We had one really bad night that way. Right? I mean, I couldn't get back to sleep maybe we had. We opened
it's
up all the
stressful.
Windows, you know,
we
it was
did.
Like when it was cold that night too. So even I will eventually replace the hardwired one, which is more expensive than this, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I really like the idea of having two in the RV and in like two different locations in the RV. So obviously it's a cliche, but safety first.
Yeah.
You know?
We love having that. It's peace of mind.
It is peace of mind.
For $20, peace of mind.
I sleep better. And I really like the digital display on this one because I can just kind of say, all right, is there a problem? Is there not a problem?
Yeah. So, and we have it in our house now too.
One for the house and
like
one for
those.
The RV.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Occasionally the boys knock it all out of the plug because it's a little bulky and it projects out a little bit. So if the kids are running around or wrestling, they will knock it over occasionally. But it also has a cord, so you could plug it in and then you could mount it somewhere. I don't like drilling into the RV, as people know.
We know.
Going to sell that thing at some point and get a new one.
No, honey.
But yeah, I mean, you could solve that problem basically if you needed to. So our last product. We have to give a shout out here to Carrie Cox from travelswithbirdie.com because we saw this on her, I think on her Instagram. It's a book called The Camping Trip That Changed America, Theodore Roosevelt, John Muir, and Our National Parks. And it's by Barb Rosenstock, illustrated by Mordecai Gerstein. And I think this is a terrific book. I just read it to the boys one time so far. Have you read it to them at all, or did we just do the one night?
No, I laid on the floor and listened while you read it.
Yeah, and honestly,
it's remember, like, I was meditating.
It's one of those children's books that's very enjoyable for the adult as well. And it was a teaching opportunity for us as we're heading into the 100th anniversary of the NPS. We're going to be going to some national parks this summer. I wanted our boys to learn more about John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt. They loved it. They really enjoyed it. And I think we were just kind of stopping a lot and chatting about the book. And there were just some nice teachable moments in it. The boys are still into the presidents. Now they know who John Muir is and they're 7 years old. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I thought the illustrations were beautiful. I mean, my favorite part of the book, and that you were lying on the floor.
You were
not looking at the illustrations. I kept saying, honey, you've got to come up here and look at the book. It's a beautiful book.
Look, when mama gets on the floor, don't
it was one. It was one of those nights, you know. But, highly recommended, and it's about $15. And I just think for any of us who are going out and visiting the national parks this summer and want to celebrate our national parks this summer and teach our kids about our national parks, this is a really terrific book, a terrific way to have a teachable moment with your kids.
All right. So that wraps up our inside gear guide.
Ours was kind of homey and inside
part
and domestic.
One.
Now Brett's going to come back rock and roll with all this kind of like cool outdoor adventure gear, hip gear, Utah people stuff.
Yeah, we are so excited. So stay tuned. You are going to hear Brett's 7 recommendations from the Outdoor Retailer Show.
And stop the podcast now if you're afraid to spend some money on this stuff.
Gosh, I want everything on his list and we didn't get it.
We'll be back in a second with Brett Nielsen from BrettNielsen.com. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are pleased to be here with Brett Nielsen from BrettNielsen.com. And Brett has some incredible gear that he's going to review for us tonight. And these are all items that he found at the Outdoor Retailers Winter Market. So welcome to the show, Brett.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Brett.
Tell us about this Outdoor Retailers Winter Market. It's a pretty huge thing.
Yeah, so one of the cool things about living here in Salt Lake is this is right here in my backyard. So twice a year, the Outdoor Retailers meets. I just attended the winter market this January, and then they also have a summer market later in the year. And this is basically the who's who of anybody in outdoor retailing, brings all their related products. And they're really there not to necessarily talk to people like us, but they're there to find the retailers that are actually going to sell this stuff. So you have all your major manufacturers there and kind of all their new products that they're showing. Most of the stuff they showed at this winter market we'll actually be seeing in the fall of 2016.
So the manufacturers want the retailers there, but we wheedled you into there, right?
yes, we did.
RVFTA got a spy.
We have incredible buying power at a place like this.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you, the hardest part was not getting distracted with all the stuff because there's so many different things there. Like one of the coolest things that'll be coming out this later in the year is this new sole technology that'll be on winter boots that actually has these little crystals in it that harden up when they get on ice and give you like a gripping effect. And so there were all these demo booths where you could put the shoes on and run around on the ice and not slip at all. And it was really hard not to get distracted by something like that and focus on more of the RV and the camping side of things. And I did my best and found some good picks,
well,
I think.
Yeah, so. Because you were on assignment. Before you showed up there, we kind of had determined what we wanted, right?
Like, that's right.
We sent you there to really find sort of that more adventurous outdoor gear for the RV family. And I am telling you,
came
through.
Brett found
through.
It. Brett was, Brett was disciplined.
Oh, this is such a good list. I'm so excited. Brett has 7 different products. And we obviously had to like look at them a little bit and research them after he sent them to us and said, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about. And every single product, we were like, oh,
I'm calling
cool.
Right now. I'm buying 5 of the 7 of these. I'm not saying which one's on air, but I'm buying 5 out of the 7.
Oh, gear guy time is so expensive for our family. All right, Brett, so are you ready to dive in?
You bet. Let's do it.
All right, so number one, the first product that you want to talk about is the Trail Break by Primus. What is
yes.
it?
Get us caffeinated, Brett. Get us caffeinated.
So how, with a coffee theme on the show, how can we not have a good coffee mug? The Trail Break by Primus. Primus is most known for their camp stoves. That's what most people would, if you've done any kind of backpacking, you're probably familiar with a Primus stove. While I was there, they gave me a Trail Break, one of their coffee mugs, and I didn't even think much of it. I was actually planning on reviewing a totally different mug, had everything all written up and said, this is my love is this mug, and I'm really happy with it, and decided to do a little scientific test where I got a bunch of hot liquid, poured it in it, and measured how quickly the temperature went down over time. And I grabbed this Trail Break out of my bag, having never even drank out of it, and it beat all of the other mugs by so much. It kept the heat of that drink way far and above. So over 9 hours, it dropped only 65 degrees, where the other ones that I tested were like 80 degrees and 75 degrees. And a regular ceramic mug, just to give you a comparison point, dropped about 80 degrees over 9 hours. So this thing held heat like no other, and I was just so happy with it.
Pretty stylish looking product as well.
Yeah, the specific one that I tested is brand new and won't actually be released until April of this year, but they do have larger sizes. The one that I tested was a 12-ounce, which they don't have on their market yet. They only have larger ones, but it's a nice tapered design, fits well in a cup holder. The only kind of negative that I have with it is the top opening out of it when you take the lid off is a little bit small. So if you're going to do like a pour over out of a Hario V60 or something like that, you have to make sure it's really aligned because the Hario won't actually sit on it. It won't like sit down inside it. It sits on the top. Which makes it a little bit sketchy if it's, you know, on the table or something. But using something like an AeroPress, you can use the loader, the little funnel thing that comes with the AeroPress. That sits right down in the mug and you can press right into it without any problems at all.
Ooh, that's a good tip. All right.
Very good tip. Yeah. So this would be nicely paired with an AeroPress.
Very nicely paired with an AeroPress. In fact, that's been my go-to since I got this and actually did this little test. This has been my daily driver mug every day. It goes with me with an AeroPress in it as I drive to work. So
I'm going to send you, I have this huge stack of AeroPress filters that we never use. I'm going to send them to you as a little thank you present.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else about the Trail Brake?
No, I think it's a great thing. The lid is a nice two-piece lid, splits apart really quickly and easily for cleaning. And then you just give it a little like quarter turn to lock it in place and keep it so the liquid doesn't spill out. And then you just unclick it to drink out of it. So it's highly recommended from Trail Brake by Primus.
And what was the price point on that?
Oh yeah, the price on this one, it's $30, which if you've looked at any kind of vacuum sealed mug, that's about the price point you're at. Yeah. So it's really competitive for a coffee mug.
The Camelback that I have was $24.99, I think. Yep. So yeah, that sounds about right. Let's stay on the coffee theme. So next we have the Minipresso GR. It's a handheld espresso maker. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I have to admit, leading up to the show, I did not attend the show the first day because it was middle of the week and I had to do some actual work. You know, it's fun to go to the show and play, but I actually had to get some stuff done. And somebody posted a picture of this thing on Instagram, and it was my thing was to find this because I knew that I had to go check this thing out. So it's a handheld little torpedo-looking tube that you can load 7 grams of coffee in. And then you start to push this little pump on the side. And within 6 pumps, it's built up the necessary 8 bars of pressure to give you a true espresso. And then 26 pumps in, you've got a full shot out of the device. And it gives you this nice head of crema on the top of the shot. It's perfect. It's ingenious. I can't say enough about it.
Okay, so you felt that the pumping, because that was my one question. Like, first of all, I love the fact that this is a completely, like, you do not need electricity for this. Like, this is an off-the-grid kind of espresso maker, which is
very much
awesome.
Yeah. All you have to do is heat your water up. So you can heat the water up on the fire, on a propane stove, whatever you want. There's no CO2. There's no electricity. This is a nice portable thing. You can't pre-pack it. So you couldn't put the water in the little reservoir with the coffee and like throw it in your bag and take it with you. The water will spill all over. You could pre-pack the coffee in it. And then when you get wherever you're going, you could, pour the hot water in, flip it upside down, and then pump it. And the pumping is not hard at all.
That's what I wanted to know.
No,
okay.
It's totally easy. One-handed, easily done. And if you've got problems, you know, kind of doing that pressing motion with a hand, you could easily do it with 2 hands, but no problem whatsoever. So
this is the Boondocker's Delight if you want a nice espresso.
You know, that one of the promo shots that I had, which I thought was kind of funny, was this gal, she goes up this hiking trail and she's sitting up watching a beautiful like sunrise and she's having a nice shot of espresso. And I was like, personally, when I hike, I don't want a hot beverage, but you know, hey, it got the point across that you could totally take that with you. And using something even like the coffee mug, you could even bring the hot water in that. It's going to retain the heat really well and then pour that into the mini presso and then press it back into the coffee mug. And that means the mug would already be warm and everything, so you'd be able to just take your shot right out of that. So
that's a great idea, Brett. Now, what's the price point on this?
So this one's a little bit more. It's $65. So, but for a nice portable coffee gadget, if you want a true espresso, right, where you're wanting a shot, different things like an AeroPress, they don't get enough pressure to be a true espresso. That 8 bars is really key. And if you want that crema on the top, you've got to go with something here like the Minipresso.
I want to just remind everybody, we're going to put photos up of all of these items, and where possible, we will put up YouTube video links to these items.
Right, embedded in the show notes. Yep.
All right. So what's next on the list?
So the next item is a brand new one, so much so that most people, when they search and hear this podcast, they're not going to be able to find it. It's called the Jack Rack, J-A-K-R-A-K, and it's by a company called Spriggs. These Jack Racks sell for $20, or I should say they will sell for $20. And the best way to describe it is it makes your coat like a backpack. So if you picture a pair of suspenders, you could basically make this same thing with suspenders. Theirs is a little bit better. The clips are a little bit better. But what you do is you clip it into the inside of your jacket, and then you wear your jacket like normal. And so when you've got your jacket on, nobody can see that you have this inside. But then let's say you go somewhere that's a little too warm, or it's heating up, or you're in the middle of a hike and it's getting hot. You simply just slip the jacket off. And the suspenders or the jack rack in there is then the strapping over your shoulders and allows your coat to just stay on your back, and then you still have it attached. So you can walk around freely, your arms are free, and your jacket is just kind of dangling from your back, but it's not going anywhere. So I put one of these in my daughter's coat. We went over to the playground. She took her coat off, and she's running around in the playground. Her coat's attached to her the entire time. We've gone to the mall with it, and you know, you go inside the mall and it's getting warm, flip the jacket off, it's right there on the back, you don't have to worry about it. So
right, so this solves the problem of either having to like wrap it around your waist, or if you're the mom, you
here,
end
mom,
up
hold
carrying
this.
Like the bundle of yes. coats. Okay.
Oh, those coats with our boys, those coats come off on every single hike.
Yeah.
And very quickly too. It's like boom, they're out of it. And so especially now as we get into fall, this gets to a real tricky time. You've got cold mornings, you got cold evenings, you're warm during the day. Something like the jack rack allows you that flexibility that if you're gonna be out somewhere cold and it's gonna warm up, you flip the jacket off and it's hanging on the back. You're not going to lose it. It's attached to you. And then the nice thing is your jacket's kind of inside out. Your sleeves are exposed. So if you want to put it back on, you just put your arms back down in your sleeves and then rotate your arms up and it'll flip back up on your back. It's really ingenious. I couldn't believe it when I walked by. I was like, what are these? Because they kind of looked like suspenders hanging there. They did a quick demo, and I was blown away.
I like to joke about Brett's notes occasionally because they're always really excellent. In his notes, he wrote, this is one of those, why didn't I think of that kind of things?
Exactly. Why didn't I think of this?
I think our boys would like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My daughters loved it. It does take a little bit of playing to get it clipped inside the jacket just right. Because if it's not clipped in there properly, you'll feel the clips on your body. I found about 2 inches down from a sleeve opening is about the right place on the sleeves to clip it, but you kind of have to play with each jacket. We did lightweight jackets and heavy jackets. Everything seems to work really well with it.
All right, so we've got some coffee things. We have some kid gear things. Now, it's also an RV FDA gear guide. We need some camera things, right? So we have the Capture Pro by Peak Design. Yeah. I made it clear that we were done purchasing camera gear in this house,
Sorry.
Brett. So
Sorry.
I'm not thrilled.
I don't look at
this
as camera gear. It's more of a backpack accessory.
Oh, backpack accessory. That's a good spin, Jeremy. That's awesome.
it's called a lie.
That's right. Yeah, that's the way to justify it. So yeah, the Capture Pro. So one of the things that I had is the year before last, I was shooting all DSLR on our travels. Great pictures, great opportunities to use the camera. But the one thing I found, and Jeremy, you had mentioned on one of the shows that you were using a rapid strap. I have a rapid strap. They're great. They make the camera very handy to rapidly pull it up and have it right there with you. The problem I found is the camera does tend to rotate a little bit when we would be out hiking. And I had it run into a couple of trees and some rocks and that kind of stuff and just felt that it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be as far as keeping it. And I didn't want it in my backpack because then like it's too hard to get in and out. I wanted it accessible. So last year I actually moved to a point and shoot and I just had it on a little belt pouch and that worked great. But I looked at my pictures over last year and I'm just not as happy with them. I mean, I know it's not all about the gear, but there is a certain quality in a DSLR that you're not going to get in a point shoot. You got more glass, you got, you know, bigger sensors. It's just you're going to get a better picture in a DSLR.
And at the top of a mountain, you want to get your best possible picture.
Yes, that's where you want every piece of camera gear you could possibly have, but you've got to get it up there. So secure transport of that camera was very key to me. And I came across another blog post from some other folks that pointed me at this, and I'm so happy I picked it up. I read their blog post and said, I've got to order one of these. And this was not at the show. These people were actually down at CES during the show, I believe. I heard somebody say that. So this is one that I'm kind of sneaking in that wasn't at the outdoor retailers, but is one that I picked up. And what it is you give this clip that you can clip to a backpack strap, a belt, anything really, that is about up to 3 inches wide and a half inch thick. And then you take a base plate and put that on the bottom of your camera. And then that base plate clips into the clip that you put on that strap. So one of the things that I did with it first is I put it on a backpack strap that I use for hiking. And then I could clip the camera up on my shoulder. So it's right there accessible, but it's clipped in and locked in place.
And also the camera, that's a pretty protected place to have the camera, because you can always sort of like move your shoulder around if at the last second you need to protect the camera, I would
think. Right, exactly. You can easily turn, and where that's getting up close to your head, you tend to be very conscious of what's going on in that area. If there's a branch, if there's something coming at you, if you're going to duck and have to get under something, you're going to protect that space a little bit better. So up there is a really good spot. You're putting a camera on your strap, so it does pull your bag a little bit, so you have to adjust your straps. But I found even wearing it down on a belt strap or actually on my belt is actually also comfortable, where I can just clip the camera in there. We've gone to the park in our neighborhood a couple of times, and I've just taken the camera over carrying something like the Nifty 50 on there, and that's a very easy lens to carry over there. The camera's right there on the belt. It makes it so I can actually carry that camera around and I'm not worried about it, so to speak.
Now, Stephanie and I watched a YouTube video of this product, and you also look cool when you're wearing it. And I'm not really saying that sarcastically. It actually is kind of like a really cool looking item, and it makes your camera makes you look like very professional.
Very professional. And this is something that even pros can use. So they make other clips that you can hook onto other lenses. So you could have a couple of these on your belt. One of the pictures that they have is somebody that's switching between cameras, that they've got one on their left side and one on their right side, and they're flipping back and forth between the cameras. But they do make other attachments for it, for like GoPros, binoculars, other lenses, any of those kind of things, that you can use this same mount and clip things in and out of it. So it's a very versatile piece of gear. The one that I used was the Capture Pro. It's an all metal design, and it retails for about $80. And then the other attachments are just add-ons that you can add on to that.
All right, so you're telling me this is going to set me back $80, Brett. Great. Okay.
No, it's going to save you $1,000 because I'm not going to crack my camera into the side of a rock.
All right, let's move on. Very Number true. Five, we've got gear patches by McNett. Tell us what these gear patches are for.
Yeah, so some of our listeners may have seen Gear Aid or Gear Tape. I was just at Sportsman's Warehouse over the weekend, and there was some of this tape there. And I had never come across it, but I ran across their booth at the show. And they've made what they're calling gear patches. And I had never really run across this because it's really more of a product that seems to be intended for people with tents. When you get a rip in the tent, you take this tape and you put it across the rip in the tent, and it seals it back up. But what these guys did is they took that same material and that same adhesive, and they made what they're calling gear patches, which are pre-cut out characters, if you will, or items or things that you can put on your gear. They act as a patch, so if you do get a rip in your coat or something like that, you can put this patch on. But now, instead of just a big block of tape, it's a fun thing. So my daughter, she really likes wolves, and so she's got one on her coat of a wolf. I happen to be fond of trailers, so I put a trailer on the back of one of my coats. There's no rip. I just put it on there as a way to kind of personalize that.
So it kind of combines the two concepts of having the gear patch to repair things, but also the patches that people like to collect that kind of demonstrate a particular hobby
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, right? A little hobby or something. So I one of my winter coats, I threw the little trailer patch on the back. The one I put on there happens to be reflective, so it's got an added benefit of being reflective. They come in multiple colors. They come in straight black. We've put them on several different types of material, several different coats. I've put them actually on the fuzzy part of a fleece jacket, thrown them in the wash and seen if they'll come off. And the company says after 24 hours, they're not really removable. And they're right. I haven't sat there with a knife picking at it, but they've gone through the wash multiple times through the dryer, and they're on there. They're not coming off.
All right, and without sewing, that's nice.
It's great. So if you do have a rip, this would be a great way to just patch it up real quick. But I see it as more of a personalization thing, right? I can put this on a jacket and kind of put it over a logo that maybe I don't like, or add to that. So I've got my own little trailer on there, or campfire, or fish, or whatever. They've got a whole variety of camping and hiking and hunting and wildlife kind of themed patches.
How much do these cost, Brett?
They're great. They're $10 to $15, depending on the package that you get. So really cheap, really affordable, and you get several of them in one of those packages. So it's not just like one sticker or one patch for that 10 or 15. You get a whole bunch of them for that.
Okay, so that's a fun thing. That's like
it's a fun thing. Yeah. It's easy to do. It would be great to bring them out at the camp, let the kids decorate their jackets or whatever, and once they're on there and they're good. You can reposition it for a little while. They say up to 24 hours. Much longer than an hour, it was getting really sticky on the back and really a lot more difficult to come off. So,
excellent. So we have talked coffee, we have talked hiking, we've talked photography. Now, of course, it's time for bocce ball. Let's talk about some campground games. So what do you have for us in terms of outdoor bocce ball?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with bocce ball, right? So we go to a lot of great places as RVers, right? I live here in Utah. We've got awesome campgrounds all over the place. It's great.
And they pay you to camp in Utah, right?
They pretty much do. For the price of, these gear patches and the bocce ball set, like, you've got two nights of camping. So, but there's quite often at these state parks and national parks, there's not a lot to do, right? I mean, once you get past the beautiful scenery, you kind of are lacking on some of those activities. And so what we tend to do is bring stuff with us. And so one of the things that I saw that I honestly wasn't that familiar with was actually bocce ball. And so this company called Outside Inside makes a backpack bocce ball kit. It sells for $15. It's, really small. It's lightweight enough that you could literally throw it in your backpack when you go hiking. And these little balls that you can play bocce ball with, they're great for little hands. They're made out of kind of a PVC rubber, so they're really fairly indestructible. And you can go out and play a game. And I really wasn't that familiar with bocce ball. Looked up the basic how-to, which is essentially throw one ball out there. In the kit, it's a white ball. That becomes your kind of marker, or what they call the jack. And then you are throwing the other colored balls, trying to get it as close to that one as you can. So we've gone over to the park and a couple of different places. We've played on grass and played on sand and tossed these out. And it's a lot of fun. This is something that's so simple and so lightweight. The little mesh packet comes in, zips closed, so all the balls are in there. And it's even got a little carabiner on it, so you can just clip it to your bag or your belt. And you don't even know you have it with you until you get there and unzip it and you can start playing.
That's a terrific price point. I have to say, I've never seen a portable outdoor bocce at that price as well.
Yeah, so the true bocce purists will be real quick to point out this is not a regulation set. So,
yeah, well, because the regulation set would put your trailer over its weight limit very easily.
That's correct.
We
have a regulation set.
Of course we do. We're from New Jersey. New Jersey people know bocce ball. But we do, and it's heavy. You don't want to be carrying that camping with you.
Well, and honestly, it's not okay for kids, really, either. Yeah. Not for kids our age. You're not going to use a regulation bocce set with six-year-olds. Somebody will get hurt.
Somebody will break a toe, yeah.
And even if somebody took one of these balls and threw it at somebody else, I mean, it's going to probably sting, but it's not going to hurt them, right?
Oh, that would never happen.
Brett, in New Jersey, that's how every game of bocce ball ends. You take the balls and you throw them at each other. It's an old Italian tradition.
So maybe they should use one of these smaller sets, because then they're lighter weight and everybody will be okay.
What fun would that be?
All right, moving on. We've got, I really like this one. Now, let's not pretend like I'm going to use it anytime soon, really, am I? I don't know. But the Hydro Heat by Emergency Essentials. This was pretty cool to watch work. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this one kind of stopped me in my tracks. I happened to walk by right when they were in the middle of a demo, and I just stopped and said, that's amazing. So Emergency Essentials is known for all kinds of prepper and outdoor type of things, and this is no exception. So the Hydro Heat allows you to cook with no flame, no gas, and no batteries.
Stop the madness, Brad.
I'm telling you, it's amazing. So what you do is the little device, if you will, is a plastic pan on the bottom and then a metal pan above that. So you kind of get this double boiler effect, if you will.
Yeah.
You can put water in the bottom, and the water in the bottom does not have to be clean. It can be straight out of a river or whatever. You just fill it up to the little line, and you put one of the heating packets in there. Within a matter of seconds, that heating pack starts to swell up, and in a couple of minutes, I think it's about 3 minutes, that water in the bottom will be boiling hot. So what we did in testing it out is doing something simple like top ramen. Put water in the bottom, put the heat packet in there, put the metal pan on the top of that, put the top ramen in the top, filled the top with water, closed the lid, and let it sit. In about 5 to 15 minutes, you're going to get up as high as 175 degrees. And so you'll range from about 150 to 175 degrees. So it won't boil the water in the top part, but it definitely gets hot enough to cook something like top ramen. Any kind of your rehydrating of food, any of those kind of things would be perfect for this.
Right. So people have to go over. If you're going, what? You have to go over to the show notes on this and watch the embedded YouTube clip, because it really is unbelievable to watch. And I guess that this company they make the packaged food too, right? Like freeze-dried meals. So they actually show an example of one of their like spaghetti and meatball type of things.
Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs, beef stroganoff, any of these kind of things. You toss them in there and you've got it. So yeah. So where I thought this would be really good is there are times when you maybe don't have access to your full kitchen in your RV. Those of us that travel with a full kitchen and have a stove in there and everything, we've got a lot of conveniences at home. But there are times where maybe you can't use that. Maybe in like Janine's case, where she doesn't have a full kitchen and doesn't really like to cook inside, maybe something like this allows her to arrive at camp, cook up a hot meal real quick, and she doesn't have to worry about it.
Because she wouldn't have to pull out her whole camp kitchen if she's just spending the night somewhere on a stayover. Good point.
This is so easy. And then even if you wanted a hot meal when you're hiking, right? So you go out for a day trip. A lot of times when we go hiking, we're gone over lunchtime. So we're packing, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something like that. But there are times where maybe a little hot soup or something like that might be more of the taste that you want for lunch.
If you're hiking in New England in the fall and it's cool, I mean, that sounds heavenly, actually. And
then you
have your espresso right after.
See, you've got it all worked out right there. So you've got a little water supply you take with you. You got this little the little Hydro Heat with the heat packet. Pour a little bit of that water in there. Save some of it for the mini presso at the end. You're in pretty good shape. You're sitting pretty nice at that point.
All right, that's great. So those are your 7 products, right, Brett? Did we get
them
all?
They are. Yep, that's it.
There's part of me that wants to thank you, and there's another part of me that's like a little bit angry because I'm about to go drop $250
the
second
we get off here. This is hard for you being on the other side of things. Usually we're the ones, you know, with
getting
all
the samples, you know, testing things out. Now I'm going to have to go buy this stuff. Seriously, this is just a great selection of gear.
It really is.
And it's a fun selection of gear, too. You know, I think we all want a couple exciting new things for the new RV season.
Now, we also know that Brett is going to have sort of his full reviews with, like, I think his own personal pictures and everything on brettnelson.com. Right, Brett?
That's correct. Yeah,
okay,
I'll go ahead and put that up the day that the show airs.
Right. And so what we're going to do is in the show notes, we're going to link right through to that, too. So if you want to see Brett doing all of his gear testing... and his daughter, like, wearing the jackrack, then you can go over to brettnelson.com. We'll leave a link right to that blog post for you also.
Brett, can you also do us a favor, and any photos you have, maybe put them up on your Instagram account as well? Would you consider doing that for us?
Yeah, you bet. I'll start posting some pictures, you know, the ones that are there on the blog, and we can definitely start tagging those so people can see them show up.
And give us your Instagram account again.
It's Instagrablin.
Okay, Brett, thank you so much. That was just an awesome segment. We really appreciate your time and your energy and your discipline and how you just did not get distracted at that show. You just had laser focus.
Oh, it was really hard. But I'm looking forward to going back in the summer and see what else they got.
Yeah, your next assignment is right around the corner, Brett. Rest up, okay?
That's right.
Rest up. Go camping or something.
I will, indeed.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much to everyone for listening to part one of our spring gear guide. And I know everyone out there in listener land is like really super excited to get those campers out. We're seeing the pictures on Instagram. We're seeing some of our friends down in the South breaking out the campers, heading out on their first trips. Really an exciting time of the year to be an RVer. So I want to thank our sponsors, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. If you want to check out their campgrounds, head over to campjellystone.com. I also wanted to thank our friends at Campers in RV. To find your next RV, head over to campersin.com. And also, a big welcome back to RV Trader. Head over to rvtrader.com/sell and enter coupon code RVFTA5OFF to receive a special discount.
All right. Thank you so much to those sponsors. And also, head over to rvfamilytravelatlas.com if you want to see the show notes for this show and see links to every single product that we talked about. Some of those are affiliate links, so if you click on that to purchase the product, cha-ching, we get a small slice of that, and it helps, you know, fuel Jeremy's spending habits for the
RV. It'll help us buy some of that stuff that Brett reviewed.
It helps us, like, attempt to stay out of the
red. Wasn't Brett's segment awesome?
Yes, exactly. That's
rock
what you're going to do.
Brett.
You are going to fund Jeremy's purchase.
By the way, Stephanie's got
Brett
a great new blog post up there, too, to kind of get you motivated and encouraged to go out and buy that first RV. You know, if you can't pull the trigger and you're just worried about whether it's a good investment, go read Stephanie's blog post. You'll be buying an RV next weekend.
All right. We'll be back next week with our spring gear guide part two.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking our photos on Instagram. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the encouragement. And thank you for coming along on this ride with us. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.